Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see. It looks something like this.
What's up, Curiosity Builders? I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative entrepreneurs and leaders looking to grow, not only by learning new things, but by connecting their work to big ideas and overcoming the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. Today's interview episode of Getting Work to Work is the first in a four-part series promoting Design Week Portland, a week-long all-inclusive festival celebrating the projects and processes as told by a creative community across many disciplines. Over the next 4 weeks, you'll meet amazing creatives who are not only producing great work, but also giving back and building a community of equality. Learn more about Design Week Portland at designportland.org. Now that the stage is set, the first creative I would like to introduce you to is Precious Bagarin, a creative director, designer, and educator. In our conversation, we talk about the thread that weaves through all she does and how that brings balance, what it means to use design as a language of equity, the value of mentorship, how she's been involved with Design Week Portland, and the events she's participating in this year, including Better Talk, where nonprofits and creatives talk about what they can learn from one another. Show notes and links for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/248. Precious, welcome to Getting Work to Work. Why don't you share a little bit about who you are and the work you do?
So I'm a designer here in Portland. Mm-hmm. I'm a creative director of my own studio, but I'm also a faculty member at Portland State University, and I've been there since 2002. Mm. In addition, I run events, community events during Design Week, and teach workshops just in the Portland area. I do a lot.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You have such an amazing range of work and roles through all of the things that you just listed. And as I was kind of reflecting upon all of those different roles, what is the thread that weaves through them all and brings balance?
It sounds a bit cliche, but after doing all of these different things for over 20 years, mm-hmm. it's really about joy. And I was going to say type because I teach typography and I have been for 20 years. And that's something that I think my students would say about me, mm-hmm. that doing all these different things through working on projects with clients, through teaching, through developing workshop or curriculum materials, I'm able to engage with my favorite subject area, and that's typography. Mm-hmm. So that would be like my academic voice speaking. But on the other side of it, I'm a bit of a nervous person, a pretty intense nervous person. And I think mm-hmm. people within my professional community wouldn't know that about me. Mm-hmm. And what I found is that design is a way for me to speak to everyone. Hmm. And when I speak to someone through design, it's the spark that's created through working with a client, and they see their message or an idea take form. And it's that joy and spark that it feels kind of magical to me, but I see that also happening in the classroom when I'm sharing information about how letter forms were created in the past and how special the space is in between them. And seeing that joy or that spark happen when a student is able to interpret that or figure that out or create a body of work, like exploring those ideas. So I really think what I do, even though it sounds a bit cliche, is all these things are linked together through me finding happiness and being able to communicate with others through my talents.
Yeah. So when you're approaching joy in your work, what does that feel like?
I call it, in the classroom, I call it creative goosebumps, and I'm a pretty emotional person as well. Mm-hmm. Tears, the joy is expressed like through my body. It's a physical reaction. And I mean, yeah, it's like, it's something that's definitely more emotional that's transmitted to other people, like through language or me high-fiving or hugging or whatever that may be. But definitely it just comes from within and it radiates out when I experience that joy.
Yeah. I love that mental picture as well as you're describing joy, because what it does is it speaks to, I think, the humanity and that visceral connection that design and creativity have on people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess they're doing, I'm working with so many different people and different companies, all the students, you know, the thousands of students that I've worked with in the classroom. I like people. that's the other thing. So I think it's interesting that you said humanity, because I think that it does have the, that what we do as creative people has the potential to connect even more people. Mm.
And is that what you mean by that when you use the phrase design as a language of equity?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So last year, so this is a little story. Last year, I went through somewhat of a midlife crisis, just thinking about all the different things that I do and being completely overwhelmed. So I have a career coach here. Her name's Aubrey DeClercq, and I met with her to talk about it. And I put everything on the table, and it was like a creative therapy section.
Just voicing,
yeah, you know, like, these are the things I love about what I do, but I feel emotionally drained. What can I get rid of? What is there anything that we can edit out? And after really talking it out, she noticed there's a thread. There's this thread of me engaging with clients in a way that I wanted to amplify voices and ideas that weren't heard about every day. And through that work, I would put in the same amount of care and attention to detail as I would a large commercial client. And this was something that happened, you know, and we were talking about joy. Her asked me, well, what is, we're seeing these things come up again and again, and you talk about the projects you work on with nonprofits as the ones that make you the most happy. And then the word justice and equity came up, and she kind of had this epiphany. She's like, you're using it, you're using design to speak to people, but you're also using it to create this even playing field where you're elevating and amplifying ideas and services for people here in Portland, or you know, you could say like humanity, in a way that a larger project or maybe a commercial project would be sold. I was kind of taken aback. Like, I don't think I do that. Thinking like, whoa, that's deep. Like, I do these things because I like them and they make me happy. But me at that point, just not seeing that there is this thread woven, not just because I enjoyed the feeling that I get out of collaborating, working with these clients, but that there's also this equity piece that I'm working to actually solve this, to solve a bigger problem or to promote a bigger idea. And it keeps happening over and over throughout my career. And I just haven't given myself the time to acknowledge it. And then really owning it. So that was another thing, just working through that. Like, this is something that I enjoy doing. Could I continue to do more of it?
And how can you keep joy in the process? Because sometimes when we're focused on those giant goals, you know, we get so focused on that that maybe we lose that connection to what really fuels us.
That's an overwhelming question to me, because I feel, I talk to my husband about not being able to stop, because I feel compelled by some bigger thing. I don't know what that thing is, but compelled to do more for people. After within a year of really thinking about my purpose and my work and how all these things are tied together, I think I'm propelled by hope. And whoa, this is getting kind of deep. just that I can, I'm here to do more, and those things make me happy. And if I'm here to serve as an example to my students, as a woman, a business owner, a person of color, mm-hmm. and a mother, that they can also have choices within the creative community, that feels good to me.
That is amazing. Thank you for going deep into, hope and joy and equity and what that means, because that sounds like the thread through everything that you do. And you can't help but be drawn to that when you see that in the world, as opposed to just doing work that looks like everyone else's work.
Yeah, definitely. It's what keeps me going.
Yeah. So we're here to talk about Design Week Portland. What is your connection to Design Portland, and how have you been historically involved?
Okay. Well, I launched my first event in 2013 with Briar Levitt, and it was a very simple portfolio making workshop at PSU. Mm-hmm. It was free. And within a few hours or within the end of the day, the workshop had sold out. And by the end of the week,
oh, wow.
we had a waiting list of at least 50 people. By the end of it, we probably had nearly 100.
Oh, wow.
And it shook me because these are people coming together, holding talks, having workshops, all these different design events, bringing the community out. But what I found in teaching the workshop and then just from a registration is that Portland was hungry. They were hungry to learn more about the creative community. I made a really wonderful friend from that event. She's a hand letterer, paper finger. But every year after that, after 2013, I either hosted an open house, a workshop, or a little bit of both, in addition to just encouraging students to attend the event, to attend different events, to get out in the community, as well as attending. And what I witnessed is more, the festival just grew and grew and grew. And the events became more and more diverse.
Yeah.
And then last year, 2018, a really good friend of mine, her name's Gabby Tierta, she was approached by Sealy, the director, to refresh the brand. So I worked with Gabby on the 2018 refresh. And then that led to this year where I was on the jury.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Helping to review the different applications of events. Mm-hmm. And then, the same thing, just hosting and building community through all the things that I work on.
I imagine as a faculty member at Portland State, when you're going through this process and showing what it means to be a part of community, I imagine that students are paying attention as well.
Oh yeah, for sure. Portland's a really, it's an awesome, inclusive, wide design community. And I think mm-hmm. the students really benefit from participating. Just the faculty alone, all the events that they host, we have our show and tell lectures that are free on Thursdays. So Design Week just opens them up to so many different opportunities mm-hmm. that it's pretty amazing.
So you have some amazing events planned this year. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about Big Sis, Little Sis.
So about 8 years ago, I had met my co-host in the event. It's Gabby, and she was a student of mine at the community college. And this was soon after I had my first child. Mm-hmm. So the term was a bit of a blur. And just trying to balance teaching, project work, as well as family life with a new baby. Mm-hmm. And there was a spark there in the work that she created. And I think in some ways I saw myself in her. And that was about 8 years ago. She left the program. She went on to work. But she and I kept connecting through me having her collaborate on projects or bringing her into freelance. And eventually, she became my assistant. And this is where all the slashes are involved. So we think of like the student-teacher relationship and then that ending and growing into, you know, a professional work relationship. But that also building into something more. So there's friendship and support.
Yeah.
And we're both women of color. So we have all these shared experiences in addition to just growing and learning from one another. And eventually she leaves my studio. She goes on to the Ace Hotel. And we continue to be friends and support one another professionally, you know, socially. And then we look at our wider community, you know, and we think, oh, well, this is really, it's really positive and we're able to uplift each other and support one another in all these ways. And I know that other women of color are doing the same. And what would happen if we didn't have each other?
Yeah.
Would our creative lives, with our creative lives, with our social lives, be as rich? And could more people within our community, and I think about the students in our program, could they learn from this experience? And could we create more connections between professional women, creatives of color, with students so that they see themselves in those places, so that they are mentored and are able to learn from people that have experience. So that's what our event is all about, to just share our success stories.
Have you done this event before, or is this new for this year?
This one's new.
How exciting. I mean, there's got to be some expectations on what is going to occur. But at the same time, you're probably open to the surprises that might come.
Oh, for sure. And that's what we're looking forward to, getting all of these people in the room to talk about the shared experiences we have, to learn from one another, and also to encourage more people to mentor.
Yeah. Why do you think people don't really dive into mentoring other people?
Time commitment. That's the first thing that pops up. Actually, time commitment is probably something that comes up for most commitments in life. Do I have the bandwidth to do another thing?
Yeah.
Or if I dedicate time to it, then I'm taking time away from something else. But because I enjoy what I do so much and I'm so invested in it, I want to create the best environment, the best working environment, the best work for the next generation of creatives.
Yeah.
Especially for women of color. I went to college in San Francisco in the 90s. You know, and super diverse. But I never had a woman of color teach any of my design classes. And you know, thinking about that today, it kind of shocks me, because that was San Francisco. But maybe it doesn't shock me. And I find that still happening now for my students, and just talking to them, that in the high schools, never having a faculty member that they can connect with. And I think that connection is so important.
I really love this idea of connection, because it's also a theme of another event that you're doing called Let's Get Busy. It's a speed date style event connecting nonprofits to creative consultants. I mean, how fun is that?
Yeah. So this will be our third year hosting. And again, it's the theme of connection. And I had met, so I guess three years ago now, I had met Tony Tabor Roberts, who's my event co-founder. And she is well connected and does a lot of work with the nonprofit community as well as the arts community. And so we were just chatting over coffee, and eventually I really liked her. We really connected. And I find this with other people too, is that when I get really, really excited and share a connection, for some reason I say like, let's do a workshop, or I really want to teach. Like it's kind of odd, but I really like you. We have a lot in common, but you know, we do different things. Let's elevate our voices and share it with other people. And that's totally what happened when I met with her. And I said, you know, let's do the speed dating thing. I know a lot of creatives that want to provide work to nonprofits. She knows nonprofits that need the work completed. Could we host an event, get all these groups together, and have them just connect in these really short meetings? And so we did for 2 years, and it was really awesome. And we're going to do it again this year on April 8th.
What kind of sparks have flown in these events? Do creative relationships form? Yep. Do people share ideas? I mean, what are some of the stories that you've heard?
The first year we hosted, there was a really wonderful project that was completed a year after. So at PSU, there's a class. It's called Studio 5. It's a junior level branding class where the students work on real world branding projects for nonprofits and micro businesses. Mm-hmm. And so Studio 5 came to Let's Get Busy, and so did Join. And Join is a nonprofit organization here in Portland that works with the houseless community, and they needed a brand. Mm-hmm. They needed to be rebranded. So the students, the year after, they worked on the project. There were, I don't remember the number, there were several amazing, really exciting presentations pitched, and Join selected one. So if you go to their website today, you'll see some of the work that the students completed.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So that's probably one of the largest projects that gained the most exposure through the connection. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there's also been the design firm Factory North here. They were able to reconnect with Harper's Playground, and they worked on the redesign of the site. But the cool part about that is that they had their intern also engaged on the project, and that intern was so excited and connected to the org and the project, he continued to work after the internship with Harper's Playground. And then the firm that he works for eventually came to Let's Get Busy. So it was this really, really awesome circle, you know, through this small 15-minute meeting, two firms, and you know, were able to engage with even more nonprofits. It was pretty inspiring.
Yeah. Well, and another event that you're having is called Better Talk, the Better Together panel discussion, where nonprofits and creatives talk about what they can learn from one another. And this sounds like an even greater opportunity to continue that conversation and connection.
Yeah. So this is a larger event, and it's happening after Let's Get Busy. So Let's Get Busy is a smaller closed event, so it's not ticketed through Design Week, but the attendees can then go to Better Talk. And so Better Talk is a lively discussion about the creative connection. And our moderator is Matt Moraski. He's from Territory, and he, oh my goodness, he's really, really animated and smart. And he has the power to get people talking about things, just making them feel comfortable. And so as our moderator, he's going to be working with up on the stage. So there's four nonprofits. It's Mercy Corps, Open Signal, Vanport Mosaic, and Harper's Playground. Mm-hmm. And then the creatives, it's Think Shout, Swaim Strategies, myself, and Jen Wick. Mm-hmm. We're there to share our resources, to share our experiences. And I think what happens is, working on both sides, what I see is both groups not understanding how to connect with one another, because we don't fully understand how each group works. So through this event, we're hoping to inspire people and just like open up that door to collaborate. And then the people on the stage really serving as examples in terms of the different ways that you can get work done together.
You're really painting this picture of collaboration as absolute necessity in a creative life. I mean, how have you learned the art of collaboration? Is it just as simple as saying, hey, I really like you, let's do this? Or do you have a method to all of the things that you do?
I don't. I'm laughing because I don't have the method. And I feel, again, like what I mentioned before, I get really excited and overwhelmed and then I can't stop. So if I see potential in things or connect with people that have different ideas, I just, I get really excited and want to just elevate.
What a great trait to really model for other people, because I think we need more of that. We need more people that are just excited to do things and then can't stop. You know,
it's funny because I'm an extroverted introvert. Again, it goes back to that story that design is my language of speaking to people that I feel most comfortable. So maybe in some ways it's easier for me to have an idea to talk about.
That's really good. So apart from all of the events that you're participating in, what are you looking forward to learning and experiencing this year at Design Portland?
What I'm most excited about is the variety of events that are happening and just engaging with more people from different communities and getting us all together to talk about shared ideas. So there's an event, it's a State of April Bear State of Wonder event that's happening at PSU about the Native perspectives missing from design. That's something I'm really excited about. There's two events, it's Tender Table in Portland and Color, really in engaging stories about communities and creatives of color here in Portland. Those things make me really excited. And then Design Portland growing into this bigger idea above and beyond the festival, that's another thing that I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in some way, you know, you think about how either design thinking or creative processes, like how these things are embedding so many parts of our lives. So I think Design Portland acting as this larger vehicle to connect people throughout the year, not just, you know, within a week is pretty cool.
Yeah. So if you were to wager a guess, how many new relationships, connections, and excited ideas do you think you'll come away with after this event?
I hope so much that it will propel me to find that idea or groups of people that are doing the work to help even greater communities and to help them amplify or elevate the things that they do.
Well, Precious, we are near the end of our time together, and I just have one last question for you. Okay. What was the last book or podcast that blew your mind?
I'm late to the party, but I just finished the Michelle Obama's book, and the part that resonated with me the most was her experiences as a working professional mother and the choices and the sacrifices and the joy that comes with children. It was, it just really inspired me.
Awesome. Well, Precious, thank you so much for your time and sharing about the work that you do, the way that you bring joy and hope into design and communities. And just thank you just for being an uplifting, amazing person to talk with. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
As we come to the end of this episode of Getting Work to Work, I want to thank you for listening to this podcast. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with your friends, other creative entrepreneurs and leaders? You can send them to gwtw.co to access every episode of the show, or you can have them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Do you have a big idea that you're chasing or want to share about how you're growing in your creative work? Perhaps you need some advice, encouragement, or just want someone to say hi to? Drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm Chris at chrismartinstudios.com, or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at CM Studios. Not only do I love talking about curiosity in this podcast, but I like writing about it too. And I just launched a new email series for creative entrepreneurs who may be struggling with burnout, conformity, and mediocrity called The Curiosity Killers. Each day focuses on one killer and provides a few steps you can take to build your curiosity through wonder, learning, and action. Head to curiositykillers.com to sign up for this fun and serious look at why curiosity matters. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.